You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another amazing Cooligans episode coming your way, and we got a guest!
We do! This is a nice NBA-heavy program.
Is okay? It? Because I feel like we talk a lot about footy.
Okay, we're mixing it up now. People, Everybody was like, yo, Cooligans, y'all talk about soccer too much. Start talking about basketball.
Too bad it says soccer in front of your name on most social media, and half of the logo is a soccer ball. Talk a little bit about basketball.
We're talking basketball.
Ooh, is that new track, Christian?
Okay.
Now that's what I call music 48.
Okay. All right. Don't worry. There'll be a kids' bop version soon.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now's the part of the episode where we play the Cars for Kids theme for 4 minutes straight.
What is this? Men in Blazers? Relax, bro.
Do they do that?
On their TV show. Yeah. Anyway, what's
right,
good?
We're going to edit that.
This is not Men in Blazers. It is.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
As always.
That's right, stupid.
What's good? My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Yes, we're talking about basketball a little bit because we have an incredible guest today. We're going to be joined by your starting forward for the New Orleans Pelicans, Larry Nance Jr. Yes, that's what Pelicans sound like.
Pelicans that is an accurate Pelican. Very accurate Pelican. Okay.
Remember that mascot that was like crazy, like scared the kids?
Yes.
The Pelicans came out with? That's the sound of it.
Larry Nance Jr. Will be joining us in just a bit because he is...
He's also owner of Leeds.
He's one of the owners / investors of Leeds United. So we had him on the show about 2 years ago just because he's you know, one of the more vocal NBA players that is, a fan.
A soccer fan.
He's a big...
He likes the footy.
Yes, and he's a
little too much. He threw his money in a ring.
We were talking.
I love me a Van Leeuwen, you know. Not going to buy myself an ice cream shop, huh?
So, when we spoke to him last time, he was just a fan of Chelsea, and now he's an owner of a whole proper football club in England. So
even the fans are leaving Chelsea.
Not me, bro. I'm still here.
I'm just saying, if you have enough money to own a team, you shouldn't be supporting Chelsea, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Hear that, Todd Bowley?
I was gonna say that was directed right.
They good. They don't need anymore.
You'll be all right without him.
we'll chat with him about all of that stuff. But
coming right up.
Larry Nance Jr.
Larry Nance,
when you say it in a southern accent, it sounds like we're talking about NASCAR. Yeah. Larry Nance Jr.
It also sounds like the car going around the track. Larry Nance Jr.
But we have to.
Should we do an entire episode in comically bad southern accents?
I'm sure our fans in Atlanta will love it. We have to start today with UEFA Champions League.
We don't have the rights to the whole song.
Yeah, we can't. That's all we can play without getting in trouble. So let's start with UEFA Champions League. I mean, it kicked off yesterday. And boy, oh boy. Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday,
yeah.
2 days ago. And already all the heavy hitters, all the big clubs that are finally back in Champions League. We were all excited. Manchester United, Arsenal, Union Berlin.
Yeah, all the world's greatest. greatest clubs. Looking at you, Braga.
Okay. We were all waiting for you.
We said, this just Wednesdays don't feel right. Tuesdays and Wednesdays don't feel right without a little bit of Braga.
But look, it already started with a lot of controversy. I mean, we'll get to the Arsenal.
What's the controversy?
Goalkeeper controversy with Arsenal?
No, it's not. With Arsenal?
Yeah. David Raya is not the guy who's normally been between
the sticks.
That's not
a lot of controversy, bro. There's a reason we went and signed homie.
I don't know.
And that's so he can play in these competitions. There's no controversy. Step your game up, Ramsdale.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly agree with Alexis. I think David Raya is way better than Aaron Ramsdale.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
I did not say that. So you did not agree with me.
I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike is agreeing with Alexis saying that Aaron Ramsdale is garbage and crap. Doesn't deserve to put the gloves on.
Mike's like, I agree with Alexis. We should kill the president of the United. We're like, no. No one said that, dude.
Wow. My bad. Too far.
I was so severely misquoted.
I swear to you, that was not what I said. I'm just as upset as all of you.
So we'll get to that in a bit. But obviously, I think the marquee game was Bayern Munich against Manchester United. And
it was so marquee that both back lines just stood there and watched.
They were like, wow, I can't believe I got a ticket to this.
Look how close I am. Should I get a bib?
No, this game is the scoreline is very misleading, right? It was 4-3. No, it was.
It's really not.
Bayern completely dominated this game.
Yeah,
and
in the front two-thirds of the field. Their back line, while sus as well.
I wouldn't go that far. I think these were fluky goals. The first Casemiro goal
from,
on the ground.
From while laying there, getting painted like one of the French girls.
My man, it was a romantic goal. My man was, yes, I thought he was, on the physio table.
Yeah, dude, he was laying there like, baby, come to me. Oh, look, a goal.
No, he was screaming, basket. So, right on the ground there. It was
he's so excited.
I don't know, but Larry Nance Jr.
He's just excited for Larry Nance.
But so the fluky goals, even the
Hoyland goal.
No, Bruno, the set piece, the Casemiro goal, the header, but it all just like, it didn't even seem like the Casemiro scored that goal, and I thought nobody touched the ball.
It looked like an Olympic goal.
So fluky goals, in my opinion, towards the end that kind of made it look like Manchester United were really in this when they 100% were not. And then the Onana mistake ends up being. He gets blamed for giving up that goal.
I mean, to some degree, he did kind of set the stage. He set the pace.
Set the tone.
The tone is the word I was looking for. I said so many other words. But
set
this
pace
was
like a pace car would.
This is not going to go away.
This is a NASCAR pod.
Yeah, this is not going to go away, just so y'all know.
Okay, we'll be talking F1 next week.
Yeah, this whole thing.
We got to learn some of the names, because they're very French, but we'll get there.
Louis Hamilton. I know that's an English guy.
We'll get a new fan base. Yeah. It's all good.
How about Laurence Nantes Junior?
Nantes a great club in France.
You
anyway.
Can't say that. That means something terrible in England.
What? Nantes.
No. Yeah. Nantes. Anyway. Well.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a colloquialism. Yeah. You better call. They're called cigarettes. Yeah. Call them cigarettes.
Oh, no, that's not the word. It's something worse. I'll tell you later. But yeah, you don't want to be called that. You don't want to be called Larry Nance Jr. in England. This game was the inability for Bayern Munich to completely sort of take control of the match.
Defensively.
Yeah. I mean, as much as they absolutely were, you know, they were the ones pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Still, man, to let Manchester United score three. I mean, the talk of the game is going to be Onana letting that first goal go in, barely having his hands on it, making a lot of mistakes. He's making a lot of mistakes in goal for Manchester United. Unfortunately, this is taking the focus away from, I think, some of the mistakes that Ten Hag and some of the other players have made. But, oh, my God, Onana did not look good. And at the end of the game, he certainly was like, yo, I need to take ownership of it.
Which is kind of refreshing to see.
Harry Maguire was like, why would you do this?
What are you doing, man?
He's like, bro, direct deposit is going to hit, papa.
You got to say it's all of them, not yeah, me.
Oh, boy. You got to walk right past that media. And you know what? Smile and wave. It really confuses them.
You got to gaslight the entire public and let them know.
You got to make them think you good, like you're walking past the X right now, bro.
But yeah, Onana did after the game, and we saw this on the CBS broadcast that Peter Schmeichel, which is also to say this to Peter Schmeichel, who was also a goalkeeper for Manchester United, and then it's just like a difficult conversation to have, and then to have it like with a peer that knows your position, yeah, that knows. You can't.
This was technically the first episode of Kicking It.
Well, you can't.
Just the man talking to his hero about his failures.
Okay, this is the prequel.
Yeah. Charlie and Henri saw this and said, I think we could do this.
But to sometimes goalkeepers, because it almost feels like a different sport when we're watching them. And the skills required to be a good goalkeeper are very different from the rest of the other 10 players on your team.
I think the first one is a little
yeah, you got to be a little loose.
You got to be a little screwy up top.
You know what I mean? We've always said this. Whenever we have goalkeepers on the show, we're always just like, bro, why'd you do this? This is a ridiculous career path.
It's also like a different tone. Right. You have other players on there like, yeah, I just finished in the gym. Goalkeepers are like, woo! Yeah. It's like a very different.
All right, Ric Flair.
I know, damn, bro. Yo, but, you know it's early where you are, so, right?
But there's a skill in sometimes when you're speaking to a journalist that you can throw in, you know, big words about your position that they wouldn't really understand. You right, know,
confuse you them with the technicalities,
angles, uh-huh, and foot positioning, and you know, complicated stuff right, like that.
Say things like trajectory.
Trajectory, and they'll be like, "Wow, this guy really." I mean, yes, he's owning the mistake, yeah, but he's like, "Yo,
he's also a quantum physics scientist."
So, but when you say yeah, it to Peter Schmeichel, yeah, you can't. There's nothing you. He's not gonna. You're not gonna confuse
you
him.
You can't finesse the finesser, dude.
So this is why this is impressive from Onana, because here are his comments.
It's time to. To accept and be responsible for everything. We are big men, not easy situation. Work hard and keep believing, because we are Manchester United and we have to be able to go everywhere, try to do our best. Of course, things should happen in life, but yeah, I think that mistake cost us the victory. It's because of me. We didn't win today.
Okay. You literally answered every one of my questions, so thank you very much for that, and thank you for coming in and talking about it.
That's my favorite part.
He's like, all right, well, that's all I had.
Because I was going to roast you a little bit, yeah, but you roasted yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is like B-Rabbit in 8 Mile.
He pulled an 8 Mile, 100%.
He pulled an 8 Mile. He's like, there's nothing you can say to me right, that I haven't said to myself.
He said, yo, I was batting gold, shed a bob, shot himself in the dick. There's nothing. It's over, bro.
So props to Onana for doing this right in front of, obviously, one of the greatest Manchester United goalkeepers. And Peter Schmeichel, but look, accept the responsibility. Yeah, the goal that he gave up was just look really, really poor, and it's just like, bro,
it was a pass from Leroy Sané.
Yeah,
it was. There was no power behind it whatsoever.
I wouldn't say there's no power.
There was zero power behind
for
it.
For a keeper of his caliber, who was just in the Champions League final a couple months ago, to give up a goal like that, and after such a huge transfer, they spent a ton of money on him. There's not much you can say, and he just accept full responsibility, but there has to be some kind of explanation of why is he giving up goals like that.
I mean, to me it's a bit of an embarrassment, but I think this is like a window into what's going on at Manchester United.
Sure, yeah.
Where nothing seems to be going right. I think the one positive that I would be able to take from it, I said on the show this morning, I'm like, you walk away with, you hung three on Bayern in their own house, which is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
And you still walk out with more questions than answers. There's no positives. Maybe the one positive is, I think Rashford showed you a little something. He had a lot of composure. he's built for this level, which tells me y'all need to sell Rashford. Free Rashford, bro.
Send him to a good home.
Yo, dog. Look, I'm not saying you the problem, but he deserves better than you.
I think that the score line is incredibly misleading. I still think there's just a lot of issues. And then the weird comment from Eric Ten Hag about Alphonso Davies. Why is Alphonso Davies catching strays?
What did he say?
He said that Alphonso Davies is not a good defender. Why even say that?
Before the game, too. Not after the game. Before the game started.
This is before the game. Bro.
Can we just click on FotMob? I want to see what score they gave Alphonso Davies. All right, not great. A 6.5, but the whole back line was bad, but damn.
I mean, look at the other fullbacks at Manchester United.
Let me get there. I'm going to go down the four. Delo, 5.8. Lindelof, 5.8. Martinez, 5.9. Reguilon, 5.3. So you know what this tells me? Eric Ten Hag said Alphonso Davies is a bad defender, which means Eric Ten Hag wants to buy Alphonso Davies.
Yeah, dude.
That's the thing. He wants to.
That was the pitch.
Interesting. Interesting strategy.
You're so bad. You're so bad at what you do. I need you.
You fit perfectly.
On my team, bro.
I have a vision for you. And it's you hugging me after we've given up a ton of goals.
Uh-huh. What if we gave up a five piece to Brighton? How would you feel about being on the pitch for that?
What a wild statement. Look, if you're Eric Ten Hag, you got to keep every defender's name out your mouth.
Bro,
you can't be talking about anybody.
Also, especially one who's good at attacking. You know?
Alphonso Davies. And it made me think, I'm like, okay, this guy is a manager. He managed Ajax. Uh-huh. It's a very successful, through very successful campaigns. I'm like, what does he know? Is Alphonso? And then I have like a soft spot for Alphonso Davies, not only because
he came through MLS.
Yeah, he's obviously my favorite rapper.
Right. Bars.
We've seen it. But then I start thinking, I'm like, he is a converted winger to a fullback.
He's barely a defender. He's a defender because he could get back so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's being asked to be up front. You know what I mean?
He is, and that's does his speed kind of mask his defensive issues. And I'm like, but there's not many moments. I don't really remember Davies getting like humiliated by team. He played
the only time was when we were there. Eintracht Frankfurt.
Oh, Eintracht Frankfurt against Bayern.
Yeah, Bayern. Yeah,
when they lost 5-1.
And they fired the coach Kovac after the.
Yeah.
That was the only time we had to be there.
I guess that's the only game Eric Ten Hag has seen.
Yeah. Maybe he was there too. Was he on the media trip? This is bad. This is also the guy that thought Antony was good. This is the guy who thought Maguire would be good as on the team.
But
I know he didn't buy Maguire.
Right.
This is the guy who thought Onana was good. Well, damn.
Twitter saying he doesn't know ball. Does Ten Hag know ball? Seems like not.
Yeah, did you get Weghorst?
He's just bringing in all his old boys that he's coached.
Yeah, right? I mean, he coached Antony at Ajax as well. Like, so,
Coach
like,
Erickson.
I mean, look, he
called Antony. He was like, "Yo, we getting paid."
The money's literally falling out of the vending machines out here. Bro, I'm telling you, bro, you gotta come through.
Look, we're only allowed to make three hires, but I'm telling you, bro.
we
getting money.
We'll get to that. We'll talk about that next week because there's a lot of stuff about how Manchester United is run that's been going that people been talking about.
That's
on Twitter.
The PR machine is going crazy
It is wild. Okay. A couple other quick matches from Champions League.
That Lazio goal. That was the only other big moment.
Yeah,
for me.
Dude. I
on
know
Tuesday.
Arsenal winning 4-0 is crazy. That's a good point, bro. That's a good point.
David Raya scoring in the final seconds of a game.
Bukayo Saka making his Champions League debut. Come on now. Scoring a goal.
Yeah, he looked great.
Gabby Jesus, healthy.
Arsenal
knee slides.
Great. Arsenal look great.
I mean,
three Americans getting cooked.
Yeah, that's my concern. Is
Serginho Dest?
I'm like, why aren't just stay with?
Yeah. Maybe Eric Ten Hag meant Serginho.
I mean, look, we love you, Serginho.
I know, Serginho.
Serginho only had Alphonso Davies' pace.
Oh, my God.
That's all he needs.
Also, dude, what? You're part of a big group of people that Bukayo Saka have cooked.
Yeah, yeah. So
he's a bit of a chef.
Arsenal looked great. But it is a bit concerning how bad PSV looked as well. I mean, I thought giving up four.
We're going to talk about how good Arsenal looked. But yes, the Lazio goal was incredible.
Yes, the goalkeeper, what's his name?
Provedel. Provolone. This kid, Provolone, sharp.
There's no way you can tell me Provedel's not a cheese already. Yeah. That is a cheese, if I've ever heard of a cheese
Who
name.
Was it? Someone said it's Provolone and Mortadella sandwich. Let me get the Provedel.
The Provedel.
It's going to come at you fast. Look out.
But that was a great goal.
Incredible. If you didn't see it, it was they were down 1-0. They were sent up. They send the goalkeeper. I believe it's a free kick. Kind of gets bounced out of the box, goes around, gets to the sort of top of the box, to the left hand side, and Provedel makes eye contact with the person who has the ball. The player has the ball. And immediately makes one of the greatest runs I've seen someone not an outfield player make.
It is fluid.
No one covers him on Atletico Madrid.
He cuts through like a hot knife through butter.
Bro, steaming hot knife. Like, you know those TikToks where they just have that little ball that they make it red by getting it so hot, and then they just put it in mayo and stuff? That's how hot this knife was. Cut right through. Amazing header. Goalkeeper scores on the other goalkeeper, all black. And it's drawn even 1-1. Here's the biggest problem I have with it. Provedel is wearing 100% highlighter yellow. How are you missing this school bus driving through your entire squad?
Yeah.
Why does no one cover this man?
I mean, no one thinks the goalkeeper is going to score.
He's making a run.
I think it's kind of a bold thing to do to even send the goalkeeper up.
It's
right?
Champions League, bro.
But it's a group.
But I think it was
game.
Also no. But I think everyone knew it was like the last kick of the game.
Yeah. It was literally
the last thing that happened in the game.
Yeah. So, still a bold thing to do. I mean, you know, because you could goal differential is important.
No, I think I watched it. And I think everyone in the stadium was like, this is literally the last thing.
My main thing here is I think about Tati Castellanos, who is obviously now at Lazio. I would have loved to have seen him play. Is he going to unseat Immobile?
Is he going to unseat Provedel, bro? That's the real question.
That's a great. Yeah.
Yo, Provedel has more goals in Champions League than Erling Haaland now.
It's crazy. Is that true? Oh, Erling didn't score?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he did. Anyway.
You got an assist.
Impressive so far. I mean, other notable results, PSG over Dortmund, not too much
PSG
of a shock.
PSG looked good, I thought.
Barcelona absolutely destroyed Royal Antwerp. The Sam Vineless Royal Antwerp.
Alexis Galatasaray. Oh, my God. They looked so bad.
Remember how up we were on Galatasaray? I'm like, bro, they're making out this group.
You said they were going to be better than Bayern in this group.
Yeah, dog.
They got the point.
I was wrong, bro. They were down 2-0 and came back.
They came back.
Least.
It was a great
but
result.
But Kubenhound, bro. FC Copenhagen, bro.
Who's the goalkeeper there? Huh? Who's the goalkeeper at Copenhagen?
Is it Sam Vines?
No, Gaga Slonina.
Is it?
No.
Wait.
No.
Who? What? Why did I see?
Grabara. Camille Grabara.
Who was a got?
He plays in the Netherlands.
Did I see? Wasn't Gaga Slonina on loan on a Champions League team? What team?
KAS Eupen in Belgium.
No, hell no, dog.
That might be
a conference.
Maybe this dude looks exactly like him. I was just like, yo,
click on this picture. Let's see it right now. Grabara, other side. That's Muslera, the Uruguayan. That don't look like.
Maybe was it Muslera? No. I don't know. Yo, I had it in my head. I was like, yo, Gaga's like.
You bugging, dog.
He's in Champions League doing great. Bro, I'm like losing my mind.
Here's the thing. Galatasaray mounted a comeback, but at one point at home, can we see who's in their group? Bayern Munich, Manchester United, FC Copenhagen, and Galatasaray. Bro, Galatasaray absolutely needed 3
that.
Points.
They needed
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
There is a strong chance that Manchester United finds a way to beat Copenhagen. But if Copenhagen beats Manchester United, now Galatasaray need to beat Bayern.
Which they could do it.
Can we see the squad Galatasaray has? They're stacked. Icardi couldn't score. Dries Mertens. Hakim Ziyech, we probably shouldn't talk about it. Sacha Bowie, the right back, scored. 23-year-old French guy that Arsenal wanted back in the day. Lucas Torreira, who
Wilfred Zaha.
Wilfred Zaha came in for Artukoglu. Yeah, I hope I'm saying that correct. Yeah. Tete, another sub, scored the second goal. But they got Lucas Torreira, who used to play at Arsenal.
Yeah.
He wanted out. How about Angelino?
That's right. Former NYCFC.
Wine, dine him, 69 him. Remember that? That was his whole thing? Because he wore number 69?
I didn't know.
He was a kid.
I didn't know the that. I didn't know he had like a slogan.
He sold merch.
But I do recall Angelina.
This is a stacked team, bro. This is an absolutely stacked team. And for them to only be able to muster one point at home... Like, do you know, maybe the only player you might know from Copenhagen is El Yunusi, who used to be at, I believe, Southampton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was a great player at Southampton.
They've got some players, Copenhagen. They're all right.
Okay. We should move on because we have a lot more show left and we have to get to Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah. He's got to chill a little bit.
He does have to chill a little bit. So, you know, that's always he has to chill obviously when he's watching Leeds and you know, showing a lot of support.
Because he's got it's a hectic fall schedule for this man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not only is he playing in the NBA pretty soon, the games are going to be going.
Uh-huh.
But now he's also got to pay attention to the championship because the guy owns a team there.
It's tough, bro. He's out here, you know, posting up, shooting fadeaways, and he's like, yo, how's Leeds doing? It's a lot going on.
Real quick, why is it called the championship if they're not in the championship? You know what I mean? There's a lot of questions going through this man's head.
And, you know,
while he's playing for the Pelicans.
While he's trying to, you know, guard Devin Brooks or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So. Or the buffet from Zion.
Yes. Okay, bro. What a zinger, bro.
Zion catching strays on the cool.
No reason. He's actually jacked now, by the way. He's in great shape. But yes, the guy's got to chill. Hey, Christian, I'm going to let you get one guess. How do I like to chill?
With an ice cold Coors Light, Alexa.
Bing, bing, bing.
And it's always incredibly useful. And this is how Larry's going to know. He's going to know he's ready to drink when those mountains are ice cold. It is blue right there on the can.
The mountains turn blue, dude. That's how you know. It's time to chill.
Let's go. So Coors Light is the one we choose when it's time to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligan.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligan. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, let's get to it. We had an amazing conversation with
Larry Nance Jr.
Larry Nance Jr., the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay.
Y'all have a good day, you hear?
But seriously, he is now one of the co-owners of Leeds United, obviously a very historic club in England. And, you know, he's a different... Alexis is about to fall apart.
Alexis is dying. Bro, I was trying to cut away. Too.
That's because you ain't drinking an ice cold Coors Light.
I wish I was drinking a Coors Light. Larry Jr.
I'm very confident you're going to enjoy this. So here it is. Here's our conversation with Larry Nance Jr.
I mean, the illustrious guests.
It doesn't stop.
They just keep coming. And let me tell you something. We have an illustrious re-guest.
That's right. It's weird to say, like, you're friends with an NBA player. And I just said it now, and I don't even know if I can confirm that.
I think looking at his face, he was like, it is weird because you ain't friends. He's been on our show before. And in fact, we're going to talk about this because last time you were on the show, you brought up how you'd like to get you in the mix of possible ownership in sports. And now I could say he plays for the New Orleans Pelicans, but really what we should say is part owner of your Leeds United Football Club. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Nance Jr., everybody.
Larry, what's good?
Guys, that introduction was way more than I deserved, but I will say, I can confirm the friends thing, so we're good on that.
All right, nice. Feels good.
Nice.
And second, I definitely prefer being introduced this way as opposed to, you know, as a basketball player. That's old and boring.
Sure. Yeah. There's a certain level of reverence. There's a certain level of like, okay, you know, royalty is coming in when we say one of the owners of a football club in England is crazy. Joining us on the show. So we, you know, we got to show you the respect that you deserve. But Larry Nance Jr., let's just get right into it. We'll talk about NBA Schmenbia.
Let's talk about that old news.
Perfect.
You know, let's talk about, you are a part owner of Leeds United. I saw you when you put up the post of you in the jersey. Holding the scarf, I was just like, "Yo, you were on our show." I'm gonna pull up this clip. We'll put it in post.
No, it's great. You know, I know Bron is in Liverpool. Kevin Durant owns part of Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Union.
I believe there's Steve Nash does a lot. I know he has ownership with, I want to say, Mallorca in Spain.
And Vancouver.
Yeah,
James Harden owns Dynamo, a part of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's something that I'm interested in as well. You know, that's something that ownership is
Well, Larry, we have a Sunday league team called Cooligans FC that we could really use a little bit of investment.
You were on our show, and we, like Alexis mentioned, we were talking about the other NBA players that are involved in football ownership. You know, LeBron in Liverpool, James Harden in the Houston Dynamo, Kevin Durant, Philadelphia Union. And you said right there on our show 2 years ago, you were like, it's something I'm interested in being getting involved in ownership.
So is it because of us?
Did we?
It's solely on you guys. There was one reason why I went through with this, and it had nothing to do with the team, the future, the city, nothing. It was strictly because I made a promise to you guys.
How do I get back on the show?
You know, when I started doing stand-up comedy, I started telling people that I was going to be a comedian. And a lot of people are like, what? You ain't funny. You know, whatever. And it's just like, nah, I'm going to do it. I promise. But as soon as I started putting it out into the universe, boom, it happened. And now I do comedy. I'm talking to Larry Nance Jr. Was that what you were doing, putting it out in the universe? I'm going to own a football club, so I'm going to make it happen?
Yeah, kind of. I've wanted to get involved in for so long now. And obviously, you know, I would love to say basketball is my first love, but it's not. Football is. So, you know, it was just something that felt right. Like, I don't know, it felt right. I'm so passionate about it. And again, I'm doing this. I'm talking to you guys right now. But if you see me glancing this way, I've also got Burnley Nottingham Forest on in the background. So, you know,
yeah.
It was just something that I thought would be very cool and that I'd love to, you know, really get my foot in that side, that half of the sports world.
Yeah.
What is it that you think you can bring to those players on Leeds United from your experience in the NBA? Like, what do you think you can bestow upon them?
Not much. not much, for being real. Not much. How to, if they want to figure out some ownership stake in the NBA, I might be able to have foot in the door for them there. But no, I mean, it. In all reality, it's very much so I talk with the players after the games, and you know, I've got a few friends that play that, you know, just developed over social media and whatnot. I've gone over there twice now, but in terms of interaction with them and actual input, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about from that sense, right. And I know that. So I want the team to do well, so therefore I'm not gonna tell them what to do.
You're just in the locker room like, no flagrants this game, all right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Guys. One yellow. Yeah, no. That's all we're allowed.
All right. No technical fouls. You know, I didn't, but this is not the team I bought.
Yeah.
but it's interesting. Obviously, getting involved in ownership. We've met a couple people, obviously, in high levels of the game. But I guess my first question would be like, what have you learned? What are the one of the first things about being an owner that you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to. I got to get the manual. I got to look up, football ownership for dummies or whatever. But what's been the first thing that have really challenged you in being involved in this space?
So for me, I stay active. I wouldn't say on social media because I'm not on Instagram, but Twitter. I'm very active on Twitter and I enjoy my engagement. So, once it kind of came out that, hey, you know, this guy is a part owner of an investor in the Leeds, you know, football takeover. Leeds fans flocked to my Twitter on the droves. They were telling me, hey, we need a left back, we need a center back, we need a striker, and I'm sitting there like, guys.
You just got here.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, like, yo,
The concession stands in gate D. We need to fix the every facet of the game.
Exactly. So it's just become like if they have anything to say to or about the team, I'm just kind of like the guy to say it to because I'm active and you'll occasionally get a response. So whether they're happy or mad, my Twitter's after a Leeds game, go search my Twitter handle.
This is the customer service rep. We gotta let them know.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I am. I'm the customer service. Bingo.
You're like, I will let them know that stall number 3 is down. Thank you.
Don't worry, I got it. We're out of beer underneath stadium. Underneath
that's probably that's probably the complaint you'll get most if I remember Leeds correctly. You did play on the same team. LeBron also played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So did you. He owns a soccer team. Now you own part of a soccer team. Did you maybe reach out to him? Did he give you any advice?
So not necessarily, no. This was something that even if he had said, hey, dude, this is a terrible investment, don't do it, I was going to do it.
Nice.
I was going to do it. This is one of those things that, hey, look, if I lose my money along the way, the fun and the experience is going to be worth it. I don't think that's going to happen. It's not going to, but for me, it's much more of a passion play than it is a financial play.
Yeah, and look, it's an interesting time for Leeds. After getting promoted, they brought in an American manager, all these American players. There was a lot of energy and hype, and Leeds is a club with just an incredible amount of history. You know, being on this side of it, you know, it's a frustrating time, right? They got relegated in a time when it felt like things were on the up. But being a fan and owner and then being involved in this community, what is it like watching Leeds now as an owner? Because I mean, you know, you give up a goal and it's not just, oh man, we're down one. It's like, we need to get promoted because we ain't gonna have.
I got mortgage payments.
We're not gonna have hot dogs next season if we.
So you know what's funny is one of the only things I find different about it from watching as a fan of the sport as opposed to like having interacted with the players and interacted with people within the club and stuff like that, having stake in it, is not like I want them to win more or less, because look. You go to England and sometimes it feels like the fans want to win more than anybody else. So, you know, I of course I want them to win, but the only difference I find is like before I would find myself calling them like by their last names, or how I would find them like, we just signed this new striker, Joel Perreault. And like I would call him Perreault or Jorginho Reuter. I'd call him Reuter. But like now, forever, for whatever reason, since I've gotten involved and gotten to meet a few of these guys, it's only first name basis. I'll be stomping around the house and my wife will be like, what are you mad about? I was like, oh, Dan missed this awesome chance in the first half. Like, you know,
yeah.
Luis wants out. I just don't know what to do. And she's like, who? Like, yeah, sorry. I think I know them. Just, you know, like we're old friends.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Us, they, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Yeah, good old. You talk about them the way we talk about you.
Yeah, yeah. Old Larry, you know.
That Larry.
Yeah. It just dawned on me that you're probably now going, we won last year, and you can now actually say we.
Yeah.
You're one of the few people we've ever spoken to that can actually say we.
Yes. Yes. It's quite the honor, and I don't abuse it. I like to call them Leeds, or the players were awesome today. The squad was great, but. If I'm feeling a little bit, I feel like I want to boost my ego a little bit, I'll throw a we in there or an us every now and again. Yeah.
Okay. Look, we put in a great shift today.
Yeah. Oh, it feels 100%.
Good. We really 100%. Left it all out there.
Yeah. The boys look great today. That's a massive 3 points for us.
Yes.
Just sprinkle it in at the end.
I want to also, the last time you were on, we had spoken to you, I believe it was like the week or just a couple of days after Chelsea won Champions League, and so we obviously can't omit the fact that you obviously are a big Chelsea fan.
Christian bringing up your ex, bro.
No, it's true. I was very forward about the fact that I love Chelsea, and you know, for me it was Samuel Eto'o that brought me there in the first place. So a lot of what had made me fall, like what made me really like the club, was is gone. And so I don't want to say like this was a perfect segue, but this is what better time? You know, like I'm not a huge fan of how they're spending and all that stuff. So now
let's just keep it a buck, bro. Chelsea kind of dusty right now, bro.
They're kind of down bad. They're kind of down bad. Look, put it this way. If Leeds plays Chelsea right now, you know where my money's at.
Yeah, dude.
Bro.
You know where my money's at. Bring it. Yeah. Carabao Cup, you know, FA, we might FA. Have a, you know, like we got something going on. We'll match up with them.
Okay.
Well,
at the bridge too.
Yeah. I want to know, obviously, Ellen Road, an incredibly historic stadium. As you walked around there for the first time as, you know, an owner, did you consider whether Christian and I can hang out in the owner's box?
It's an important question.
You know what?
That's the most important question I'll ever ask on the show.
I looked at the seats kind of like to the left and right of me as I'm in the director's box and was like, you know, I know the perfect two guys to fill these seats. I know, I'll kick my wife out.
Experience is missing, you know? That's
couple knuckleheads.
It's exactly what it is. I'll just not bring my wife next time. And you guys you got it. I got it.
You're going to be like, no, I'm going to be hanging out with Christian and Alexis.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because now when you're involved, I say we.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are going to – you'll see the result next weekend and be like, man, we had an awesome one.
Yeah.
We really took it to them.
Larry was right. We played our hearts out.
You know, I just love that it's a team effort. Yeah, that's all.
That's a fact. No, we're in together.
Yeah, you mentioned Carabao Cup and FA Cup, and this is obviously, you know, the NBA season is coming up soon, and we got the play-in tournament, bro. NBA trying to copy us, trying to be like soccer, bro.
And no one is upset about it at all.
No. We all are very excited about the opportunity of playing more basketball.
How are you explaining it to your teammates? Is it a thing where the conversations are? Is there optimism? Is there joy about it? Or is it just like, is it kind of annoying? Or is it an opportunity to make more money, maybe?
I guess it's an opportunity to make more money. I mean, I don't know. I don't really think anybody's going to pay attention to it until, like, from a player's perspective, we don't care until it gets to, because, like, the first four or five games you play are just, they count as tournament games and regular season games.
Right, right.
So they're going to be regular season games for us. But the second something out of the ordinary happens where we either have to, if we do well and we play an extra game or, like,
yeah,
something like that.
Oh, it's
now,
gonna be like basket differential. They're gonna find a new
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Now we're gonna get irritated.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna get irritated.
Yeah. If you won it, would that? If the NBA trophy, the NBA Finals trophy,
the Larry O'Brien trophy.
I could not. I was like, I know it's not Vince Lombardi. I couldn't remember Larry O'Brien. If that's
the Guy Fieri NBA trophy,
the Flavortown Cup that you guys won in front of the NBA Finals, the Larry whatever my guy's name is. If that's a 10, where would the play-in tournament trophy hit? Would it get above a 1? Would it hit a 9?
I think a solid. It depends on honestly. It depends on the team. Right, like if you get a team like the Magic or the Thunder or Detroit or one of like these up and coming young teams, it's gonna matter a whole lot more to them than it is the Milwaukee Bucks or the Warriors. That like, if they were to win that, the Warriors or the Bucks, they may not even pick up their trophy. They don't care. Like they got their eyes set on bigger things. But like for the younger teams, it could mean a whole lot and another something that they could be invested in and interested in that. They have a real chance of winning outside of, you know, the Larry O'Brien.
Right. And this the only thing I'm genuinely frustrated by with the whole play-in tournament is the name of the tournament. The play-in tournament?
Bruh.
What?
Marketing took the day off.
Wait, what's it called?
It's the play-in, right?
No. So the play-in tournament.
Mid-season tournament. That's
the mid-season tournament.
Even worse. That's worse.
Yeah. What you need to do is throw a sponsor behind that and just get us one. Like the Carabao Cup. Great. Yeah. We'll have the Red Bull. We'll have the Red Bull Cup. It's great.
Bro, done. You don't want to win the Raising Cane's Cup?
Right. You know what? I got a better idea. What about the Cooligan Cup?
There we go.
Look,
this is why you come here, bro.
Larry Nance Jr., this is why we bring you on board. This is basically our, you know, owner's meeting. You know, we're just coming up with marketing pitches. Right.
Look, you guys get a part of Leeds. I get a part of Cooligan. It's great. Look, it's just a fair handshake deal all across.
Exactly.
It's a perfect name because so many people despise it. You know what I mean? The tournament itself. It's a perfect name. We'll go Cooligan's Cup.
You got to make it a little controversial to be good.
All right.
I want to ask you about this because I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he's an athlete, an American, an Olympian.
It's so crazy. We didn't even talk about we don't discuss the questions we're going to ask the guests. And I was just about to ask this question that you're about to ask. Great. You're talking about Noah Lyles.
Noah Lyles. He said, world champion. We don't play the world. And a lot of NBA players kind of cooked them.
Everybody got in on this.
But then some of them players went out and laid a little bit of a stink, you know?
FIBA tournament.
You know, in the FIBA tournament. And you mentioned the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo came out and said, hey, I thought about defending my guy because, you know, it's not like it's even the Champions League players, the winners don't call themselves the world champs, and they play a large part of the world. They play Europe. What are your thoughts when you heard that, and what were your thoughts when you saw the reaction? I know you're big on Twitter, so you must have seen a lot of it.
So my immediate thoughts on it are, in soccer or football, you can't say world champs because there are of equal leagues, right? There's not like the Premier League. We don't know if the Premier League is better than La Liga or better than Ligue 1 or better than Serie A or better than La Liga. Like we don't, you know, they're all, you know, do we have opinions? Yes. But like there's no like best league in the world, where in basketball it's really tough because there's a clear, no one would debate that the NBA is the best league in the world, right? So are we right by saying world champions? No, absolutely not. But if the Nuggets played the best team from Europe, from Asia, from the other six continents, and we spotted them 30 points, I still think it would be a blowout.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, again, I'm biased because I'm in the league, but like it's just not close. Like it's not close to where like, hey, if Real Madrid wins the Champions League, they're playing Liverpool, who can really give them a fight. The Nuggets playing, I don't know who won it last year, Maccabi, Olympiacos maybe, in Greece, something like maybe, or Barcelona or Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't think there's anybody that plays basketball or that understands would tell you that it would be even be the remotely close game. It just
Well, this just means we got to do it.
Yeah, I think this is
because Europe has a Champions League, a Champions League of basket, of Eurobasket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the NBA champ should play for the world title.
We should like a club World Cup.
No, just the one game. The champion of the NBA meets the champion of the European Champions League, which we would agree Europe probably has the best basketball league outside of the NBA. You know?
Yeah.
Would you think NBA players would care?
I think after this whole, like, first of all, I think NBA players would, we don't care until you get us in the game.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we're going to act like we don't care.
Until someone blows a whistle, then all of a sudden you care too much.
Exactly. That's how it's going to go. We would talk, we'd be like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fly to Spain. I don't want to do it. And then as soon as you got there, the second someone said anything to you, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on, but like, it's just, I don't know. In soccer, there's way more parity amongst leagues. In with basketball, there's not. There's just,
yeah, I think
we'd have to pick a neutral site. We'd have to build a floating stadium in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah,
that way the flights are not as long.
I volunteer. Yeah. I'll
yeah. Just
play on a warship of some kind.
A barge.
But the throughout all that conversation about world champ this and world champ that, I think it sort of reminded me of a little bit of the arrogance that the English have over Americans when it comes to football, right? Americans don't know this, that you call it soccer. This is where I'm starting to feel like, yo, our arrogance about this, it feels like we're being too defensive. Do you think it's like I'm like, yo, are we turning a corner?
Oh, you're saying we became the it's football mate?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like that, bro. Because I don't want to, you know, I would have appreciated more humility from some of the NBA players that were in those comments. I was just like, I get maybe there'll be some blowouts, but you don't got to tell them you're going to blow them out. Just, it's almost like we're overcompensating because we sense that Europe is catching up to us in basketball. Do you get that sense at all?
Europe is not catching up to us in basketball. but look, I'm just, and you got to let me explain this quote, because like, it's not, they're not catching up to us in basketball. There are players that are penetrating the NBA more and more, right? So like the Euro League isn't catching up to basketball, but like European players, so a few of them are, right? Like if you name the top five players in the league today, I'm Jokic, Giannis, Embiid's in there. Doncic. You know, you've got, you know, Luka, you know, if you say top 10, probably 6 to 5 are foreign, which is, I love it. And I think it's really cool. But if you look at, if we took our 10 best Americans and put them in that tournament, like the other, like every other country is doing, right? Their best players play, minus Serbia, that Jokic didn't play. But like, every country has their best players play. We put our best 10. We lost, but it's just not a real. I just think it's not a real conversation to be had.
Here's a question that I have then. All right, so now that you own a professional football club in Europe, you're seeing up close the academy system and developing a player within a professional atmosphere, sort of in the right levels for their age and size and shape. And then you think about the American basketball player and how circumstantial their development is. They have to learn it on the street. They have to learn it in a team. They have to play multiple teams. Maybe they have to travel. They join a couple of multiple travel teams. Do you think there's a world where, like, the Knicks, for example, a couple blocks away, probably a terrible example because it's the Knicks, but the Knicks, for example, create a academy where they can go to the Bronx, they can go to Brooklyn, they can go to Manhattan, they can go to some of these neighborhoods, pluck some of the best players, and bring them into a slightly more professional atmosphere. Doesn't mean they can't go play on the street as well and learn some of that pickup basketball style stuff, but they can learn in a development, and we can bring them up as opposed to trying to just draft these players randomly. Do you see a world where that would benefit the American player? Because it seems to be benefiting the players in Europe.
I see more and more of that actually happening now. Now that you've got, you know, you've got the G League Ignite. The G League is now a thing. That's kind of like a little farm system for us. And now there's like Elite, the Nike EYBL, which is like the Elite Youth Basketball League where guys play AAU at. It's the top talent amassed that plays against each other. And there's junior, like there's not junior college, but there's like prep. There's prep schools that kids can go to high school and play basketball at. So I could see it happening, but I mean, you'd have to. What would be really tough is like you'd probably have to pay these kids a little something, and the NCAA wouldn't allow them to play in college after that. So it, like the guy, like my old teammate Billy Hernan Gomez has been professional since he was like 13 or 14 years old. So like he's been making money from that age. Where over here, if you took a dollar at age 13, the NCAA says you can't play college.
A sandwich. You took a sandwich at that age.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so like, I don't, he doesn't care about the game. All he cares about is sandwiches. The media scrutiny would be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, exactly.
The other thing I wanted to what was the other thing I wanted to ask? I just lost the sandwich comment. Just threw me off.
Sandwiches always make me lose my track of thought.
You mentioned Serbia, and this will be my last question. You mentioned Serbia, and there's a viral video of
the fans crazy.
With flares and like basically it's a football atmosphere.
Jokic even said, "Do you feel pressure?" He goes, "I played in Serbia, brother. I don't feel pressure."
Yeah. So when you see something like that, is that even a comfortable environment to play a basketball game in?
No. I'm used to our cushy visitors' locker room where it's nice air conditioned. We've got Gatorade and waters in the fridge next to us, and like, I would love to go to one of those games, but I don't really. I'm good on. And I think he might have been talking about. I'm not sure what he was talking about. It could have been Partizan or
Partizan is,
Red Star. It's Partizan maybe. They get their full blown flares and jumping all game, and it's. I want no part of it.
I would love to see a basketball game in that atmosphere because there's not that much pressure when you hear, here we go, defense, here we go. That's not exactly. really it's the same little... as the stands are on fire.
Right, right.
You know? Yes. You know? Right.
You're not going to see Cardi B having popcorn.
Yeah. It ain't Fat Joe in the front row.
In Serbia.
Showing off his new kicks right. when the fans are on fire.
It's a different tone. But no, it's man, this has been awesome. Larry Nance, look, obviously, best of luck in ownership with Leeds. I hope that Leeds has a good season. It'd be great, obviously, to see them back in the Premier League. And we know, you know, you'll get a lot, you know, nicer tweets if they do end up getting
and
promoted.
I hope the Knicks win the in-season tournament, but I hope you guys come in second in the Cooligans Cup.
Look, thank you. I'll take second.
Larry, just let people know where they should follow you and if there's anything in particular when it comes to Leeds that you want to let people know about.
I'm LarryDN22 on Twitter, LarryDN7, I think, on Instagram. You know, just like you said, we're looking forward to seeing Leeds up next year. And, you know, that's where our beliefs lie. So, you know, I think the rest of this year we'll be tearing up the championship and look forward to, look forward to kicking Chelsea's butt next year.
Nice. I love it. This is great.
I like it.
Okay. Well, we will be in the owner's box with you.
That's when they're right. Next to you.
Next to you. Perfect. When they're playing against Chelsea.
Your wife just standing there like, can I sit? And you're like, not yet.
Not yet. You got to wait for one of these two to go to the bathroom.
Larry Nance, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Yeah, baby.
Shout out to Larry Nance Jr.
Oh, God. What a great interview. First of all, I love when someone comes on the show and they, like, get the vibe.
Bro.
Oh, I can mess with these guys. These guys are going to mess
with
me.
Bro, he's our friend.
Time.
He said, beginning he's of the interview, he's our homie.
At this point, I mean, you just got to invite us to the mansion.
Well, he said you guys are going to the Leeds game with him. His wife, you guys took her seat.
Let's go, bro. Sorry.
It's happening.
Sorry, Mrs. Nance Jr.
Okay. They didn't mean to destroy this family, but we had to sit next to the homie.
If I were you, I'd wear comfy shoes to the next game. You might be standing while Christian and I share one seat.
Okay, go to the supporter section. Out there.
Get on the drums.
Have a good time. But no, shout out to Larry Nance Jr. Obviously, best of luck. Yeah, in this NBA season, except if you're playing the Knicks, you know how it is. Our line is in the sand, bro.
Throw the game, dude.
Maybe when he's when the Pelicans are playing the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, maybe we'll
hit him up.
We'll go say hello.
Courtside. Say what's good. Yeah.
Okay, sitting next to Michael Che.
Right?
Gonna be dope.
And I'll be like, hi, I'm Larry Nance Sr.
Who also played in the NBA. Yeah, legend. Another NBA legend. Okay, I want to get to this before we wrap up because this was a fun story. I guess fun for us.
For the guy who No one involved in this story.
It's just a...
Not one person involved in this story would say it was fun. For our show, it's pretty perfect.
This is just such a wild, like, MLS specific
story,
which is why it makes me a little bit giddy.
And I've always, like, you, we all know on this show how much I absolutely adore the city of Montreal. It's one of my favorite cities.
Uh-huh.
And I always say it's like if Brooklyn and Paris had a baby. And this story feels like a little bit of both of those put together.
If Brooklyn Beckham and Paris Hilton, what?
If they had a baby, it would be the city of Montreal. Oh, that's a C-section.
Okay. So a couple people have already sent us this story. And
they're making requests like we're a DJ.
we need
your take.
They're holding up their phone to our DJ booth with their Spotify playlist.
It says Bad Bunny and Which Way Is the Bathroom on the phone.
But the Patrick McMahon on Instagram, I just want to give him a shout out because he was the most recent person to remind us to make sure we talk about this. But this is Club de Foot Montreal has a player. His name is
like Matko?
What's his Matko, first name?
Matko Milovic.
Milojevic. That was his fake name. His Matko Miljevic. Matko Miljevic.
He added an O.
He added an O. So yeah. Well,
man thought he was slick. He thought he could get it past us.
This is nobody.
No, I'm Alexo Guerreris.
Whoa. Where'd Alexis go?
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Who runs this league? Lois Lane? How hard is this to figure out?
So we have this article. So MLS terminates Miljevic's contract after amateur league cameo. So we have this article here from Pro Soccer Wire. But this was this is what he did. Matko played. He was upset that he wasn't playing in matches for Montreal. That he was like, "Yo,
I'm
not getting enough minutes. I need minutes. I want to play." And one of his boys was like, "Yo, we have I play in a league,
a little summer league,
a little pickup.
Apparently, it's a very important league. Uh-huh. There's something called the summer Bell." Tournament that they do that's like a big deal. I have a friend in Montreal who sent me some information on this.
QCSL.
QCSL. Apparently, it's like
Quebec City's soccer league. I'm assuming is what it is.
No. It's French.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not Quebec City. It stands for something, but the Bell World Cup. And apparently, the Bell World Cup, Bell meaning the company. The telemarketing telecommunication company.
Okay.
So apparently it's like a really big deal. Patrice Bernier played there. There's a photo of him.
Okay.
Playing in this league. So apparently it's a big deal, and it could get a little chippy.
Yeah, like most right. leagues or whatever.
It's a little too chippy. By the way, this guy is born in Argentina but played for the U20 American team.
Yeah, I did see that too.
So this kid's American. He's out in Montreal. His friend says, "Hey, you probably shouldn't use your real name, though."
right?
Don't you play in the league?
You have a Major League Soccer contract that explicitly prohibits you from playing anywhere else.
And this kid's like, "I got an idea. My name is Christian Pool Anchor." Two O's.
It's a different guy.
I don't know.
They're never going to trace it back to me.
I don't know that guy. And if you say I look like him, you're racist.
Okay. So this is what Matko decided to do. He played in a few games. I think he played in six matches.
He's trying to stay warm, stay on point.
Once I get it.
Right?
You want to play, you're frustrated, you're not getting...
This is like a comic who, you know, gets bumped off stage but has a new joke. So he runs to the open mic and says, "I can't put my real name."
Right.
"So I'm Blevin Hart."
"Yo, Blevin, I ain't never seen you before.
Bro, but you're crushing." "You are." "Also, your Ferrari is double parked, bro."
So, what ended up happening, and he probably, nothing probably would have come of this. Probably no one would have ever even found out. But
he played a couple of games.
He scored six goals. So he's doing it. He's like, "Yo, MVP. Numbers.
It's a 7-a-side."
Okay.
It's only a 7-a-side.
So the reason he got caught was because he got into a fight and he punched a guy. He punched an opponent at one of the games.
But apparently, so they found out that he was under an assumed name and they're like, "Yo, you can't play. You've been used a fake name."
Yeah.
So his profile is still up.
Mm-hmm.
I could send this to you. But it says suspended indefinitely.
Yeah. On the QCSL website. we'll put it in post. We'll send it to Mike.
And it has the fake name, Milojevic. Different guy.
Yeah.
So apparently he didn't play. So he still went to the game to support the rest of the team.
Oh, so the game that he got into, the fight.
This is where he got into a bit of a scuffle, allegedly.
Which is even more insane.
No, he's like, "Actually, that guy got into a fight. You need to find that guy.
Milojevic is a menace who must be captured.
He's putting disrespect on 95% of my name." So he's on the sideline, but he's yipping at one of the opponents.
Uh-huh.
And apparently they it leads to a bit of a scuffle, and Matko duffs him.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. And yeah.
All technical terms.
And now the thing that sucks for him is that now he is his contract has been terminated with Club de Foot Montreal. So he is done. He is no longer an active player. And this is
he's suspended indefinitely from the other league.
So, bro, he can't even go back.
Play in this crap league. Yeah. What is this?
Yo, if you are a professional athlete and you're getting paid to do the thing that you love, I get it's frustrating to not play as much as you may want to play. But at this point, you just say, "Yo, Coach, send me to MLS 2.
Yeah, come on. Let me get a run out.
Let me play with the U14s.
I'll punch those kids.
Okay? Because they say disrespectful stuff about my mom.
Oh, man. And they got cute little dances they do from TikTok while they're saying these things.
Okay? Just a ridiculous decision.
They put water in my sandwich. Do you have any idea how disrespectful that is where I'm from?
They keep asking me about the Roman Empire. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know.
Why do they keep asking?
The stupid sandwiches, they chop them up. They chop up the ingredients in the sandwich. Doesn't make it better.
And you know what? I like crust on my bread. Why do they keep removing it? Anyway.
I'm running out of TikTok, so this is all you.
Anyway, so the it's impossible to rationalize. This man is a professional athlete, has an incredible opportunity, and for it to be thrown away over this is like so wild. And then he could have gotten away with it if he just had control of his damn temper.
Sounds like a Scooby-Doo episode. If it wasn't for those damn meddling kids.
How did they foil my plot? Oh. I put an O there.
There was an extra O. Yeah. It was foolproof.
Right. I can't answer that question. That's not me. I have an O in my name.
You just got to say me so. No hablo inglés. No. Yeah.
That's the way out right there.
Also,
if you're going to punch anyone, have it be the guy who's asking you if you're Malakul Milosevic.
Just give him a quick shot to the throat. So they can't speak anymore.
Out of the way.
And run. Throw the smoke bomb and leave.
And when you leave, you got to go.
Okay. I mean, we couldn't. We're only here to help.
I know. Have you never seen a cartoon before, dude?
Just such a ridiculous scenario, bro.
By the way, who's cutting crust off sandwiches? Is this what they're doing on TikTok?
No, not on TikTok. That's just like a thing kids do.
Tell their mom. I was going to get very upset. Were you a crust off the sandwich kid?
You know what? Weirdly, I was for like.
Not weirdly. I think we all assumed you were.
No.
I was setting you up here
for
with
like,
this question.
For some reason, for like 2 years, I was like, I don't want crust. And then after that, I was a phase. And then I just went back to crust and started enjoying crust.
Pimento loaf was a phase for me. Where I was like, why are we eating olives shoved in this meat? Do you know what pimento loaf is?
Yeah, I do know. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Don't eat anything called loaf. That's meat.
Okay, yeah. You're probably eating this when you're like 8 years old. Like you just had a very weird palate, a very refined palate.
I did have a very refined palate. You know what I liked for a period? Carrots cooked. Like sauteed and then with butter on it. And my mom's like, something wrong with this boy. I was legitimately like 4 years old. I'm like, Mom, can I have carrots? Can you cook it in a pan but then put butter on it? And she was like,
this kid was buying cookbooks. She's like, 6 years old.
Yo, what TV channels are you watching?
You know too much. Yeah. All right, let's wrap up there. Shout out again to
Mise en place, Mom. Mise en
place. Shout out again to Larry Nance Jr. Thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, honored. It's always dope to have an NBA player to come through.
NBA player who owns an NFL team. Anyone else who fits that bill, you're welcome.
An NFL team?
Oh, I meant to say football, and I thought NFL. Who owns a football club? You're
EFL?
More than welcome.
EFL, maybe?
Yeah.
Say EFL.
Championship. Come on, Pelicans ain't winning a championship, so you got to buy a team in the championship.
Oh, bro, don't say that, bro. Anything can happen. It's the NBA.
Okay, fine. The Knicks aren't winning a championship.
Finally, some facts said on this show.
Jeez.
Shout out to everybody tuning in. If you are watching on DraftKings Network, On Samsung TV, on Roku.
Hit the subscribe button.
Thank you so much. Yeah, hit the subscribe on your Roku.
Let's go.
subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get
Spotify
podcasts.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Do the work, all right? We're doing the work. We're delivering this incredible product.
The least
product,
you could do.
Product to you.
Larry Nance Jr.
So we'll see you on Monday with another huge fun episode. So thank you, as always. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
It's the Cooligans, buddy. Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.